إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فهذا هو الدرس الثالث من دروس علوم القرآن وعلوم التجويد والتلاوة. وقفنا في كتابنا عند حكم التلقي من المصحف دون معلم. هل يجوز أن يتلقى المسلم القرآن التلاوة القراءات من المصحف دون أن يرجع إلى معلم؟ هذا ما نريد أن نبينه، ثم نشرح بعض أحكام التلاوة، ثم نطبق ونستمع لبعض قراءات إخواننا. قلت: وإذ قد علمت أن التجويد واجب، وعرفت حقيقته، وعلمت أن معرفة كيفية الأداء والنطق بالقرآن على الصفة التي نزل بها متوقف على التلقي، التلقي يعني الأخذ عن العلماء، عن الشيوخ، عن القراء، والأخذ مشافهة يعني استماعا، من الشفة إلى الشفة، من الشفة إلى الأذن، يقرأ الشيخ ويستمع التلميذ، يقرأ التلميذ ويستمع الشيخ، من أفواه المشايخ المتقنين للقراءة، المتصل سندهم بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن القارئ لا يمكنه معرفة كيفية الإدغام. الإدغام هو الإدخال، وسنتكلم عليه في أحكام النون الساكنة. الإدغام في اللغة معناه الإدخال، إدخال حرف في حرف بحيث يصبحان حرفا واحدا مشددا. والإخفاء في اللغة هو الستر، أن تخفي النون الساكنة والتنوين عند حروف الإخفاء 15. والتفخيم، وقد مر معنا، هو تسمين الحرف وتضخيمه. والترقيق، وترقيقه وتنحيفه. والإمالة المحضة، يسمونها الإمالة الكبرى، مثل يا يحيي والضحي، هذه إمالة كبرى. والإمالة المتوسطة يسمونها بين بين، مثل والضحى، هذا يقرأ بها ورش وأبو عمرو البصري. والإمالة الكبرى يقرأ بها أبو الكسائي وحمزة وشعبة وغيرهم. والتحقيق والتسهيل، التحقيق هو إظهار الهمزة، مثل أأنذرتهم، هذا اسم تحقيق. أما التسهيل أأنذرتهم، تلهين، أأنذرتهم، أإله مع الله، أعجمي وعربي.
أخذ الشيخ بريد الله خطة الحاجة. He said this is the third lesson of the Durus of Quran in terms of the knowledge of Tajweed and Tilawa. Knowledge of how to recite the Quran and Tilawa, which is also recitation, science and recitation. And basically we stopped at the chapter regarding reciting the Quran with or without a teacher. Is it allowed or is it not allowed? And this is what we're going to discuss now. We want to show this and explain basically some of the rules of recitation or reciting the Quran. And then we're going to listen to some of our brothers who will recite after me. If you know Tajweed, basically we'll be able to use to realize or recognize the way that the Quran is sent down. Because this Quran, the way it was sent down and the way it's learnt, is learnt by way of talaqi, which is basically by way of learning from your teacher, and thereby the teacher learning from his teacher. So therefore it is taken from the scholars who take it from their scholars, and so on and so forth. And it's taken from an aspect called basically from the tongue, from the air to the tongue. So you see exactly, you know, how the teacher is reciting, you listen to it, and then you emanate that in turn. So the Shaykh emphasized basically that the importance of the sanad being connected. And mashallah, this shows us the importance of gaining this ilm al-tajweed from the scholars, such that you have a sanad that is unbroken. So how will a person know idgham if he does not have a sanad? Idgham is basically to put a letter inside another letter, such that when you recite, you even though the letter is made, even the letter is clear, but it goes into another letter. So basically the first letter becomes hidden, or it kind of changes into the other letter. Assimilation, that's the word for it. So enter the letter into another letter. So how will a person know idgham if he does not learn from the scholars or from the talaqi? And how will a person know ikhfa, which is basically to conceal a letter? And there are 15 letters in the Quran which have the ruling of ikhfa. That's regarding the rules of nun as-sakin or tanween. So when you have nun as-sakin or tanween, and you have 15 letters, these particular 15 letters that come after it, then you have the ruling called ikhfa. Okay, so this such that you conceal the nun as-sakin or tanween. Inshallah, when you listen to the Shaykh, it will become apparent. And then we're going to discuss also the aspect of tafkhim. And tafkhim is basically the letters in the Quran, and there are 7 of them, which basically have a lot of strength in them. You put a lot of strength in these particular letters. And then there are other letters called tafkhik. Okay, those letters which come out in a very soft and very raqiq way, weak way, you know, in a way, such that you don't emphasize them that much. And the Shaykh yesterday explained about how the difference between tafkhim and tafkhik. The tafkhim being, you know, such that you stop at the letter and you make all the air come out from the sides of your mouth, whereas tafkhik is very simple and very, you know, in a very soft, comes out in a very soft way. And inshallah, we'll give this microphone, inshallah, to the
والروم هو الاتيان ببعض الحركة كالحروف المتحركة المضمومة والمجرورة الموقوف عليها. حينما نقف عليها نظهر بعض حركة الضم أو الكسر، مثل نستعين، يعني نأخذ جزء من الضمة حال الوقف، نستعين. والإشمام أيضا إشارة بالشفتين إلى جهة الضم في نحو قوله ما لك لا تأمن على يوسف، وهذا الإشارة يدركها المبصر دون غيره، إشارة إلى أصل الكلمة إلى الضم المحذوفة، لأن أصلها تأمننا تأمننا، فلما أشمت فنحن نشير بالشفتين إشارة إلى الضم، تأمنا على يوسف. ونحوها كل هذه وكثير مثلها لا يدرك من الكتاب، لا يدرك من المصحف، إلا بأن تجلس بين يدي قارئ يقرئك القرآن ويعلمك. فهذا نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي هو قدوتنا كان يجلس إلى جبريل عليه السلام، فجبريل يعارضه القرآن، ولذلك الله عز وجل قال له لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه، فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه. فجبريل عليه السلام أخذ القرآن من الله وأنزله إلى نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكان يعرض عليه في كل رمضان، وفي العام الذي قبض فيه عرض عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مرتين. وهكذا الصحابة تلقوا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والتابعون تلقوا عن الصحابة، وتابعو التابعين تلقوا عن التابعين، سلسلة آخذ بعضها برقاب بعض إلى زماننا وإلى أن يرث الله الأرض ومن عليها. فلا يمكن ضبط هذه الأمور إلا بالسماع والاستماع، حتى يمكنه أن يحترز عن اللحن، يعني يحترز بمعنى يجتنب اللحن والخطأ بقسمين اللذين ذكرتهما بالأمس، وخصوصا اللحن الجلي الذي يأتم القارئ في الوقوع فيه. وتقع القراءة على الصفة المعتبرة شرعا، الصفة المعتبرة شرعا هي التي أمر الله بها في قوله ورتل القرآن ترتيلا، وفسرها علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه فقال الترتيل هو تجويد الحروف، يعني الإتيان بها جيدا، ومعرفة الوقوف. نصف علم التجويد أن تعرف أين تقف ومن أين تبتدئ، لأن بعض الناس يقفون أوقافا قبيحة تخل بالمعنى. مثلا لو أن واحد قال وقف على قوله تعالى الله لا إله، الله لا إله نفى الألوهية عن الله، هذا وقف قبيح. إن الله لا يستحي ووقف، هذا وقف قبيح. فلا بد أن نعرف متى يتم المعنى ومتى نقف. ومن هنا كان معرفة الوقف والابتداء، وقد صنف فيه العلماء وأفردوا فيه الكتب، كان معرفة الوقف والابتداء لا يقل عن معرفة التجويد والتحسين والتلاوة الصحيحة، إذ أن القراءة تحسن بمعرفة الوقف والابتداء.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. ذكرت شيء قبل الإشمام، إيش؟
الإشمام
قبل الإشمام،
الروم،
الروم
الإتيان ببعض الحركة.
الشيخ when I came he mentioned something called a roam, and he said that it was those letters that are described as the حروف المتحركة, those letters that part of their nature is that they move within themselves, and that learning this type of science or this particular application of a roam, it cannot happen except with someone being taught. Like in the issue of nasta'in, nasta'in, in this particular word when it is recited in the Quran, he gave this as an example of a roam, which is from those haruf that on those letters that are moving letters. And then he said after that another example of what needs to be learned and understood, and it can't be done except by way of being taught, is what is called al-ishman. We're going to write that for you. What happened? The first one that he said was al-rum.
الروم وليس الروم، الروم الروم
الروم. And these are the letters of Roma, those letters that are constantly moving. And in the example of al-ishmam, he said that it was pointing to those words and those letters that are dealing with this, like we have an example in Surah Yusuf, in the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Yusuf's brothers said to their father, what is it that you do not leave us to be in charge of Yusuf? In this particular ayah, there is the word ta'min, and then after that comes the noon. So the Sheikh was emphasizing that particular ayah. He said that no one will be able to do this except the person who is qualified. That you cannot look at the Quran, look directly into the Mus'haf, and then learn how to make these distinctions of a room and an ishman. He said that you have to be taught by a person who's qualified, that he has to listen to you, and then he picks up that you're doing it wrong, and then he reads it to you and he teaches you how to do it. Not something that someone can just pick up the Quran or the Mus'haf, read it correctly, and learn about this particular science or this particular method without being taught. You need to sit between the hands of a qari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he used to sit with Jibril, and he would go over the Quran with Jibril, and he would read the Quran with Jibril so that Jibril would be listening. Jibril would listen to his recitation, and if there was anything needed, then Jibril would make sure that what needed would be taken care of. Like Allah ta'ala said in the Quran, and do not move your tongue in trying to be in a rush to learn it and to recite it, Ya Muhammad. But what we're going to do is, we're going to bring it together in its recitation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this, and then we're going to explain it. So Allah ta'ala in this ayah is showing us how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to sit with Jibril. And Jibril used to take the Quran from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every year in the month of Ramadan. And then in the year that he was going to die, the Ramadan of that year in which his impending death was going to take place, Jibril sat with him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went over the Quran 2 times in that particular month of Ramadan. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to his companions, that they would read the Quran to him and he would read the Quran to them. And then the companions also practiced the same methodology with the tabi'een, those people who came after the companions. And those tabi'un, they did the same thing with the atba'at tabi'een. And they did it with the next generation and the next generation all the way up until today. And the people will continue to do it until Allah Azza wa Jal inherits what is on the earth and whoever is, until Allah inherits the earth and whoever is upon it. So these sciences or these applications of the science of a tajweed, they cannot be picked up except by way of having someone serve as an actual teacher so as to point, to pinpoint for you what you need to know that you're doing wrong. This is the only way that you will be saved and protected from the lahn. And the lahn is when the person adulterates the recitation of the Quran. He said, whether it's from the either part of the lahn, and he explained before, as he alluded in this particular topic today, he said there are two types. There is the lahn in which the person pronounces or he reads the wrong way. He's not reciting the Quran the correct way. And the second type of al-lahn, he said, the second type of a lahn, which is the lahn that changes the meaning of the Quran. And that is the aswa and the afbah. That type of lahn that changes the meaning of the Quran is the worst type. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, as we mentioned before, and read the Quran with tartil. So this is a proof that we have to read the Quran properly. And we already mentioned that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he gave the tafsir and the meaning of at-tartil. And he said that it is making your voice or the tajweed of the Quran, of the huruf, reading with tajweed and also knowing where to stop. The meaning of at-tartil. And read the Quran with tartil. Ali gave the explanation of the tafsir of that. He said it consists of reading with tajweed, reading properly, and knowing where to stop. The Sheikh said, knowing where to stop and where to begin is half of the knowledge of a tajweed. Knowing where to stop and where to begin when you read the Quran is half of the knowledge of a tajweed. For an example, if a person said while he was reading, he read the ayah, Allahu la ilaha. Allah, there is no God. And he stopped right there. This is a bad place to stop. This is a terrible place to stop because of the meaning that it renders. If a person wants to, and the one who does it intentionally, he is a disbeliever because of what he's saying. And then another example of that is the ayah in which the sheikh said, if a person came and he said, "Inna Allah la yastahi," verily Allah is not shy, and he stopped. He said that these are terrible places to stop at. So the knowledge of knowing where to begin and knowing where to stop is half of the knowledge of at-tajweed. And as a result of that, the importance of knowing where to begin and knowing where to stop, the scholars of al-Islam of the past, they have written books that tell and identify places in the Quran where you can't stop, places in the Quran where you can't begin, to show the importance of this particular issue, because the authentic tilawa, the tilawa that is sahiha, that is acceptable, it cannot be done except with knowledge of where to stop and where to begin.
وحينئذ فأخذ القرآن من المصحف بدون معلم لا يكفي بل لا يجوز ولو كان المصحف مضبوطا مشكولا. قال السيوطي رحمه الله: والأمة كما هم متعبدون بفهم معاني القرآن وأحكامه متعبدون بتصحيح ألفاظه وإقامة حروفه على الصفة المتلقاة من الأئمة القراء المتصلة بالحضرة النبوية، يعني متصلة بالرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. فكيف يمكن لنا أن نضبط تلاوتنا بالقرآن من غير أن نرجع إلى معلم؟ وقد بينا لكم أن في القراءات أشياء لا يمكن أن تضبط بمجرد النظر في القرآن، لا بد أن يكون هناك معلم يوقفك على النقطة الصحيح لها، كما تقدم معنا في التسهيل وفي الإدخال وفي الإمالة الكبرى والإمالة الصغرى والروم والإشمام والإدغام والإخفاء والإقلاب وغير ذلك، فهذا لا يمكن ضبطه من غير معلم. وقد أفتى بذلك بعدم جواز أن يطلب المسلم علم القراءات والتجويد من غير معلم، وإنما بمجرد النظر في المصحف جماعة من أهل العلم. وقد ذكرت في كتابي هذا 11 عالما أفتوا بأنه يجب أن يرجع طالب القرآن وطالب القراءة علم القراءات وطالب علم التجويد والتلاوة إلى معلم متقن ضابط للحروف متصل السند يأخذ عنه القرآن. وهذا قد أكدناه بذكرنا لما جاء في السنة من أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يأتيه جبريل مرتين، مرة في كل رمضان ثم في العام الذي قبض فيه مرتين. وما تقدم من أثر ابن مسعود كيف أنه أقرأ الرجل إنما الصدقات للفقراء فقصرها، فأنكر عليه وقال: ما هكذا أقرأنيها رسول الله؟ إذن ابن مسعود أخذ عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأعطى الصحابة، وهكذا هذه يعني سنة من قطعت في السلف الصالح. فإذا كنا نحن نريد أن نمضي على سنن السلف الصالح فعلينا أن نأخذ العلم من أهله. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اقرأوا كما علمتم، اقرأوا كما علمتم. إذن في تعليم، والقراءة سنة متبعة كما قال زيد بن ثابت، القراءة سنة متبعة يأخذها الآخر عن الأول. فإذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو سيد الخلق يأتي إلى أبي بن كعب فيقرأ عليه، لماذا؟ حتى تستن الأمة به وتقتدي به، ولا يتكبر أحد يقول: أنا شيخ كبير، أنا رجل وجيه، أنا فاضل، كيف أجلس كالأطفال الصغار بين يدي المعلم يعلمني ويقرئني. هذا الكبر هو الذي يمنعك من أن تستفيد من أن تحفظ كتاب الله، وهو شرف هذه الأمة. نعم، إن كثير من الناس يأنفون ويستكبرون أن يجلسوا بين يدي معلم يعلمهم ويصحح لهم، لأنهم ينظرون في أنفسهم أنهم شيء كبير، مع أنهم يتواضعون لكتاب الله، إن جلسوا إنما يتواضعون لكتاب الله. ومن هنا قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، ومن هنا جاء في الأثر: اقرأوا، اطلبوا العلم قبل أن ترأسوا، اطلبوا العلم قبل أن ترأسوا، يعني تصبحوا رؤوسا ووجهاء، لأنكم إن ترأستم زهدتم في العلم، لأن النفس يأتي الشيطان: كيف أنت الطالب العلم المتقدم، أنت الوجيه، أنت الكبير، أنت القيادي، أنت كذا، كيف تجلس وتبدأ من جديد؟ فعلى طلاب العلم أن يبدأوا بالقرآن حفظا وتلاوة وتجويدا، ويعطوا هذا القرآن حقه، لأنه يعاب على طالب العلم أن يكون متقدما في الفقه والحديث ولكنه إذا تلا كتاب الله لحن لحنا قبيحا، ولا يصبح ولا يحسن أن يتلو. وإذا قدمه الناس إلى الصلاة ضحك منه الناس لبعضه وعدم إتقانه. فمما سبق يتبين لنا عدم جواز الأخذ من المصحف مباشرة دون الاستعانة بقارئ ماهر متقن لتصحيح المخارج والنطق بالحروف نطقا صحيحا لا اعوجاج فيه. فإن قال قائل، قد يقول قائل: قد تيسرت أساليب تعلم أحكام التجويد من خلال الإذاعات المرئية والمسموعة وأشرطة التسجيل، فنقول الحمد لله على ذلك، هذا خير كبير يعين طالب العلم ويعين الطلاب المبتدئين، لكن السماع وحده لا يكفي. تريد أن تصبح قارئ بمجرد أن تستمع لقارئ مشهور؟ لا يمكن، لا بد أن تقرأ أنت ويصحح لك الشيخ، لأن هناك أمورا لا تنضبط بالسماع وحده، ولا يمكن تحقيقها بالسماع فقط، بل لا بد من العرض والقراءة على الشيخ وتصحيح الشيخ لقراءة القارئ المبتدئ. ومثلنا لكم بأن هناك أشياء لا تضبط بالسماع، كالتسهيل والروم والاختلاف والإشمام والتقليل والإدخال والإبدال وغيرها من قواعد هذا العلم. التسهيل شرحناه وبيناه، والروم أيضا، أما الاختلاف فهو الخطف، يعني مثل نعمة، إذا قلنا نعمة هذا كسرة خالصة، أما إذا أردنا أن نختلف فنقول نعمة، نخطفها خطفا، يعني نأخذ جزءا من الكسرة. وأما الإشمام فقد بيناه، وأما التقليل فهو انفرد به ورش ووافقه أبو عمرو البصري، نحو كما مثلنا بلفظ والضحى والليل إذا سجى، هذا تقليل. ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، أما إذا أردنا الإمالة الكبرى فنقول والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، أما الفتح والضحى كما هي قراءة حفص، والضحى والليل إذا سجى، واضح. وأما الإدخال فإدخال ألف الفصل بين الهمزتين، مثلا أأنذرتهم، ندخل ألف الفصل عند بعض القراء أأنذرتهم، ندخل هذه الألف ونسهلها، نسهل الهمزة الثانية وندخل بين الهمزتين ألف الفصل. وأما الإبدال فإبدال الحرف إبدال الهمزة من جنس حركة ما قبلها، مثل هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين، أو على البغاء إن يا أيها الذين يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله. هذا اسم إبدال، إبدال يعني واوا خالصة أو إبدال ياء خالصة، هذا هو الإبدال. وغيرها من قواعد هذا العلم الشريف لا يمكن ضبطها بالسماع وحده، بل لا بد من العرض على الشيوخ المتقنين. يعني التطبيق أنت لا تستطيع أن تأتيه، ولكن اشرح ما أقوله.
أوكي.
ومن هنا قال الإمام ابن الجزري وليس بينه وبين تركه يعني التجويد إلا رياضة امرئ بفكه. إخواني أنت الآن علم التجويد والقراءة مثل علم السباحة، مثل علم القيادة. لو قرأت 100 كتاب في فن قيادة السيارة أو قيادة الطائرة أو فن السباحة، ها؟ لا تستطيع أن تتقن هذا الفن. لو ألقيت في بركة ماء تغرق وتشرب نصف البركة، ها؟ فلا بد من التدريب والتمرين. وهكذا علم التجويد لا يؤخذ من الكتب، لا بد من التدريب بين يدي معلم.
Sheikh, Ikhwan, and we request that you are patient, and if anyone has any suggestions as far as making this aspect of the Dawra more comprehensive, then you come and you talk to the organizers. Because there are a lot of people, it's impossible for the Sheikh to sit with 600 people like this and give everyone the time. So we just have
to
take that, and we're going to take individuals, and you're going to come up and inshallah listen to your recitation. So the Sheikh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, so therefore we understand, brothers, that when it comes to taking the Quran directly, learning how to read the Quran directly from the Mushaf, this is something that is not enough. It's not enough to pick up the Quran and to look in it and to try to read the Quran from the Mushaf. He said, not only is it not enough, but it's la yajuz. He said, it's not even permissible. Even if you found that the Qur'an...
Okay.
He said, and I don't want you to understand. He said, first of all, it is not enough. Not only is it not enough, but it's not permissible. Not even if the Qur'an has the marks in it to let you know what you're doing. You know, you can get a Qur'an and it has the Dhamma, the Kasratain, it has certain things written in red, written in dark, and lets you know what's going on. It has the signs, where you stop, where you shouldn't stop, where you continue. He said, even if it has all of that, it's not permissible. Now, he just stopped me and he said, now, I don't want them to think that that does not mean that they shouldn't go to the Qur'an to try to read it. The emphasis is upon the person who thinks it's enough to just pick up the Qur'an and not to make yourself go and learn from a qualified person. This is what he's talking about. As for someone who is conditioned, necessitates, and learns that way, then he does the best that he can. But the one who has the means and the ways to go to someone who knows what he's doing, then he has to go and learn from the Mu'allim of the Qur'an. As Imam al-Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, just as the Ummah has been, it's a requirement and an obligation upon the Ummah. And Imam al-Suyuti, he said, just as it is an obligation upon the Ummah, and Imam al-Suyuti, it is an obligation upon the Ummah to learn the meaning of the Qur'an and the different aspects of the Qur'an in terms of the meaning. It is also an obligation upon the Ummah to learn how to read the Qur'an with tajweed, and to read the Qur'an properly, and the characteristic on the sifa, the way that the imams of the ummah have read it, all the way back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So not only is it an obligation upon this ummah to learn how, what Allah is telling us to do as far as the injunctions of the Qur'an are concerned, but it's also an obligation that we learn as an ummah, as individuals, to read the Qur'an with tajweed according to the sifa, or the characteristic that the imams of the Qur'an read, with a chain of narration all the way up to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh said, how is it possible that a person is going to learn how to read the Quran without a qari, a qualified reciter, without a scholar of the Quran? How? We have already explained a lot of issues. Like we explained some cases and examples where it is virtually impossible for the person to just pick up the mushaf and to learn and to know about these issues by himself. Like the issue of Ar-Rum, like this issue of Al-Itkhaz, like the issue of the Imala Al-Kubra and the Imala Al-Sughra. We have spoken about Al-Ishman. We've spoken about also Iqlab and Ikhfa. Al-Ikhfa is something that you're not going to be able to learn except by having a qualified teacher before you. Any other way is going to be an impossibility. And we established it even more. We proved the point even more in the hadith of Jibreel, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, when we told you that he used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to have Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi recite for him the Quran, and Jibreel would listen to the Quran. And then it became an even more apparent proof, the importance of learning the Quran for someone in this incident, and that the year that he was going to die, he recited the Quran 2 times. Did we not tell you about the incident when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when the man was reading innama sadaqat lil fuqara, the sadaqat are for the fuqara, and the man did not make the med of the word fuqara, and he cut it short, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to him, this is not how the Prophet taught us how to read sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the man who was the student asked him, how did he teach you? And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud read to him the word al-fuqara, and he elongated it. So here is a classic case, an example, a proof, in which the companion who was the teacher was teaching his student the same way that his teacher sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam taught him. So now, brothers, if we want to learn the Quran, we have to take the Quran from the people who have been taught by those who have been taught by those who have been taught. And this is the meaning, again, of the statement of the Prophet salawatullahi wa salam alayhi, when he said, read the Quran as you have been taught. Didn't say read the Quran as you just want to read the Quran. Read the Quran as you have been taught. So it shows that the Quran is a sunnah that is to be followed. As Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu said, the Quran is a sunnah muttaba. It is a sunnah that is to be followed. The people of latter times take it from the people of former times. So all of this is clear evidence, and we hope there is no doubt in your mind that you have to learn the Quran from someone who knows the Quran. I also add on to this. If the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam used to go to Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, and Rasulullah is the best of Adam's sons, he's the best of Adam's children, and yet that exalted position did not prevent him from going to Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu to teach us, the ummah, to pay attention to the whole concept of a person learning from someone who has the information. If Rasulullah can do that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he did, then how is it possible that one of us doesn't see the importance of it and we become people who are arrogant? Most of the people, the Shaykh said, are prevented from learning about at-tajweed. One of the reasons that prevent them from learning about at-tajweed is because they cannot humble themselves. People think too much of themselves. They think that they're greater and they're bigger than they actually are. They say, how can I go and learn the Quran when I'm so and so and so and so? And in certain instances, the person who he's learning the Quran from may be a younger person, it may be a youth, And he may be a youth who's younger than him. But he says, I'm going to go to this child and learn the Quran from this child. And this is why we find the famous essence, the famous statement of the people of Bataan, not a hadith, the famous essence. He said that the essence said, get knowledge before you get position. The meaning of that is, before you become someone, a minister, the president, the mudir, before you become in a position of authority, while you're just regular guy right now, get knowledge right now while you're regular. Because if you get the position, it's going to be difficult for you to get knowledge because you cannot humble yourself in front of the people. But right now, while you're similar to the people, get the knowledge right now. Because the shaitan, once you get big and you become someone, now the shaitan, he steps in and he starts to have you looking at all of these other peripheral issues like who's getting knowledge with you, who you're taking the knowledge from, and so forth and so on. The Shaykh said, once you get big and you become the man, you use that term, and you become the man, now it becomes that much more difficult for you to get and to gain and to acquire the knowledge. So it is an obligation, a fundamental basic obligation upon all of the students of knowledge, the true students of knowledge, to give their true portion of sacrifice to learning the Quran, to learn it with tajweed, to memorize. So he said it is an obligation, a fundamental basic principle, an obligation for every student of knowledge to give his due portion of sacrifice to the Quran, learning the tajweed of the Quran, memorizing the Quran, contemplating and considering the meaning of the Quran. A man, and he just said, he himself, he went and he made hijrah to Pakistan in order to memorize the Quran. And while he was there, he was memorizing, he was a grown man, and around him were little children memorizing it well, as well. So the presence of the children didn't prevent him from doing what he had to do in order to become successful. And we're sure that the Shaykh mentioned that so that it can be a dhikr or a reminder for us and not for praise. He said it's possible. We've seen this, that a person, one of us, a student, he is uppermost, he is foremost, and fiqh. He has good understanding and a good position in fiqh. But when it's time to pray, the people put him forth to lead the salah. When he gets in front of the jama'ah and he starts to pray, the people start to laugh at him as a result of his lack of, as a result of his lack of qualifications in the Quran. He's reading in the way that is funny, is mushika. He said it's funny in the way that he reads. He said that the person may say, the person may come and he may say, put forth this argument, look, we have all of the wasat, we have all of the means and the ways in this present day and time that will facilitate for us ease in memorizing the Quran and learning the tajweed. We have tapes, we have the radio, the Quran comes and the people are reading in the radio. We have all of this in front of us, the Quran, the way it's written, we know what to do in the Quran. So why don't we just find that as being sufficient and learn like that? The Shaykh said, this is not permissible. This is not enough without sitting down in front of a person who has expertise in the Quran, you are not going to learn the science of a tajweed by yourself. Not with any of these ways that have been mentioned. You have to expose, or you have to say what you're saying to someone who's qualified, and he's listening to what you're saying and what you're doing, and then as a result of that, he says that's okay, or he rectifies your situation. And we have given so many examples. We gave the example of an ishmam, we gave the example of an ikhal, we gave the example of ibdal, we gave the example of ikhtilat, and he gave an example of an ikhtilat, in which it is when you're having the kasra, when you don't give the kasra all of the harakat that it deserves, like the word ni'mah. He gave the two ways that you can say it. You can say it where you give the kasra, na'imma, you give the whole thing, or you make it short. Then the sheikh said, you don't know what you're doing, so you don't have to give example, just explain it. He said that to me. He doesn't want you to listen to what I'm saying and say, oh, this is an ikhtilaf, oh, this is ibdal, what Abu Usama do. He's saying that he is the expert here. He can't do it with everyone. So he said, you just explain the general meaning. Hopefully they'll get some understanding. You say, I mean. He said, another example is the idkhal. The idkhal, to enter in something into another thing. And he gave the example of the hamza or the alef, anzartum, where it has a alef, and then the next word that comes starts with an alef as well. What do? You enter this first alef into the word that begins with alef, they're together, and then you make the second one easy. We're going to make it easy. So he gave that example, and he gave the example of the ibdal. And he read the ayat of that. Ya ayyuhan nas antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah. So he gave those examples, Ikhwan, about how it is impossible for someone, and this is the concentration upon this point. You cannot, we cannot, go to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just open up the Quran, the Mus'haf, and then as a result of that, become qualified, experts. He said, and this is why the scholar whose name we have been mentioning so much, by the name of Ibn al-Jazari, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the poetry that he mentioned in the book, he said, in proving this point, and the person cannot become efficient or proficient. He cannot become efficient or proficient in the reading of the Quran until he gets down there and he starts to get involved. He starts to do it. He gets into the mix and he starts to do it. He said, I don't care. You can read a million books if you want. You can read a million books about how to drive a car. You can read a million books of how to go swimming, how to learn how to swim. You can read a million books of how to drive a plane. Drive a car, drive a book, a plane. Read as many books as you possibly want. But if someone threw you in the water, after reading all of those books, you're going to just drown and drink the water. You're going to fill up your body with the drinking of the water because you didn't learn how to swim from a qualified swimmer.
نقرأ السورة الثانية معا في جزء عما ثم نختار بعض الإخوة ليقرأوا واحدة واثنين.
We're going to read the next surah from جزء العما, جزء عما, and then we're going to choose one or two brothers from the group to come forth to read in front of everyone. The Sheikh says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid about. Because the one who reads the Quran and he stutters or he has difficulty in reading it, he'll get the double reward. So now we want you to pay close attention. Those who are falling asleep, pay attention. Alhamdulillah, today is better.
انظروا إلى النون المشددة كيف نعطيها غنة مقدارها حركتين وكذلك النون المشددة.
We want you to pay special attention to the noon that has the you know shadda over it and listen to how we give it its right.
وانظروا كيف الحروف المد.
And also
الألف والواو والياء.
Pay attention to the letters
التي يأتي عليها همز أو سكون كيف نمدها زيادة عن المد الطبيعي.
The one, look at the letters of med, elongation, ألف, واو, and ياء. When a hamza comes after it, one of these three letters, or a letter with a sukun over it comes after one of these three letters, pay attention, close attention to how we elongate and how we read it. Is there another Quran?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
والنازعات غرقا.
والنازعات غرقا.
والنازعات غرقا.
والنازعات غرقا.
والناشطات نشطا.
والناشطات نشطا.
والسابحات سبحا.
والسابحات سبحا.
فالسابقات سبقا.
فالسابقات سبقا.
فالمدبرات أمرا.
فالمدبرات أمرا.
يوم ترجف الراجفة.
يوم ترجف الراجفة.
تتبعها الرادفة.
تتبعها الرادفة.
تتبعها الرادفة.
تتبعها الرادفة.
قلوب يومئذ واجفة.
قلوب يومئذ واجفة.
قلوب يومئذ واجفة.
قلوب يومئذ واجفة.
أبصارها خاشعة.
أبصارها خاشعة.
يقولون أئن إنا لمردودون في الحافرة.
يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة.
أإذا كنا عظاما نخرة.
أإذا كنا عظاما نخرة.
قالوا تلك إذا كرة خاسرة.
قالوا
فإنما هي زجرة واحدة.
فإنما هي زجرة واحدة.
فإذا هم بالساهرة.
فإذا هم بالساهرة.
هل أتاك حديث موسى.
هل أتاك حديث موسى.
إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى.
إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى.
اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى.
اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى.
فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى. وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى.
وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى.
فأراه الآية الكبرى.
فأراه الآية الكبرى.
فكذب وعصى.
فكذب وعصى.
ثم أدبر يسعى.
ثم أدبر يسعى.
فحشر فنادى.
فقال
أنا ربكم الأعلى.
فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى.
فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى.
فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى.
إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى.
إن في ذلك
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها.
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها.
رفع سمكها فسواها.
رفع سمكها فسواها.
وأغطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها.
وأغطش ليلها.
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها.
والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها.
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها.
أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها.
والجبال أرساها.
والجبال
لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى
مع بعض خليكم انتبهوا للمدود وهذا جاءت هذا مد متصل والطام هذا مد لازم في الحركات الأول نمد من 4 إلى 5 حركات والثاني نمد 6 حركات.
He said that you have to pay attention to the elongation in this particular ayat that we're dealing with. Pay attention. He said that the ja'at, that elongation there, is the met in which you have to do it from 4 to 6 harakat. And then the next one, from met, 4 to 5. So he said, kutta arba li khamsa. And then the sixth, the next one in the palm met, then this one is the met that is an obligation. And you have to take it to 6 movements.
فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكراها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها
لاحظوا الإخفاء في قوله منذر في ونغنى.
He said, beware of the ruling of an ikhfa in the word mundir. And also in the word anta. Concerning the tashdeed with the noon in innama. And be cognizant of the idgham, the ghunna in man yakhshaha.
إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها.
لم يلبثوا إلا عشية
أو ضحاها
أو ضحاها. الضاد تفخم ضحاها وليس دحاها.
ضحاها
ضحاها.
طيب من الآن يريد أن يقرأ من عمة من السورة الماضية؟ يقرأ لنا 10 آيات.
هذا يقرأ لنا يا شيخ.
تريد أن تقرأ؟ طيب أعطيه الميكروفون. انتبهوا يا أخوان انتبهوا.
سورة النازعات أو
لا عمة. عفوا أنا ذهب يا عمة عمة. اقرأ إلى وجنات ألفافا حتى نشوف أخ يكمل.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عم يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون. كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون. ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا
وجعلنا نومكم سباتا
وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا
يعني اللام سكنها وجعلنا ولا تفخمها كثيرا ولا تضغط عليها. وجعلنا الليل لباسا
وجعلنا الليل لباسا.
لكن المشكلة عندك هي العين هي التي سوت هذا الإشكال. العين نقول عين نعم. وجعلنا يعني لا تضغط وتشدد العين كثيرا لأن هذا يخل بمخرجها. أقول
نعم.
وجعلنا.
He said, "Do not try to pronounce the ain with like too tough, too rough, to exaggerate in pronouncing it. Because if you try to go overboard and emphasize it, then what's going to happen is it's going to make the problem when you have to get the next letter out, and it coming out with the next letter is going to be a compounded problem. So try to do it regularly."
Lovely.
Now. We were talking to this brother in particular. No, didn't say anything.
إيش قلت عن اللام؟ تكلمت عن اللام؟ اللام أنا أقول اللام هو لأن العين فيها إشكال أو صعوبة نطق فتؤثر على اللام.
He said because the عين as a letter, it is one of those letters that's going to be difficult to pronounce. So if you go overboard or you overextend yourself, it's going to have an effect on pronouncing the last.
العين مخرجها من الحلق. الآن لو قلت ضع إصبعك هنا فهذا مخرجها.
He said that the عين where it comes out is from the حلق. So if you put your hand here, you would say it, you're going to feel it here.
إذا ضغطت عليها كثيرا وشددتها تصبح كلفة وصعوبة في إخراجها.
But if you went overboard and you over-exaggerated and the pronunciation of the عين was going to happen, it's going to change the nature of it and have an effect and impact on whatever is connected to before that.
لذلك خففها.
So make it soft and easy. Make it easy. Take it easy.
وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا
وجعلنا أثبت الألف في الأخير
وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا.
يعني قراءته لا بأس بها ونسأل الله له التوفيق مزيد من التوفيق. من يقرأ أيضا؟
The Sheikh said that the Prophet did very good and we.
يعني هناك شيء يعني يصير مخارج.
He said there are some things how the letters come out, but we ask Allah to increase the brother in good. Now, Khan, you have to come up here, inshallah. You have to read with the microphone, the Sheikh said.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. ارفع صوتك، ارفع صوتك بالاستعاذة.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
الرجيم.
الرجيم. إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا. يوم
ميقاتا. أثبت الألف.
إن يوم إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا. يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا.
لاحظ الهمزة ساكنة لا تحركها. يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون.
يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا.
الباء تقلقل. أبوابا.
وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال.
وسيرت الجبال.
وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا. إن جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين.
لا تمد. ليس هنا مد، مد طبيعي هذا. هذه الألف الصغيرة إشارة للمد الطبيعي، حركتين فقط. للطاغين مآبا.
للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا.
الباء مفتوحة، الراء ساكنة. لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا.
لا يذوقون فيها بردا.
بردا. بردا.
بردا.
بردا. الباء مفتوحة لا تقلقل. لو كانت الباء ساكنة تقلقلها، لكن الباء مفتوحة والراء ساكنة. بردا ولا شرابا.
لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا.
رجعت تقول بردا.
بردا.
بردا. بردا.
لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا.
كأن لسانك قد أخذ عليها هكذا، ولكن اسمعوها مني حتى تضبطوها. لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا.
لا يذوقون فيها بردا.
بردا.
بردا. لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا.
هذا يعني يحتاج إلى تكرار منك على الطريقة الصحيحة حتى تصحح. فبردا هذه ما في ولا قراءة بردا، فلذلك هذا يعتبر لحن. لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا. تنطلق للتي بعدها.
The Sheikh said to the brother, it's as if his tongue has been, it's been
أخذ عليه يعني
accustomed to read him his thing the same way. So he's advising him, you have to pay particular attention to this issue right here. And we would like to add, we don't want to laugh at the brother. We don't want to laugh at the brother. He's our brother, and he had enough courage to come up here, heart, in front of all the people. He raised his hand, and he came up. Whereas there were other people who put their heads down. So we want to, we know that we should. So let's not laugh at the
brother. وتواضعتم لمعلمكم ولإخوانكم وتعلمتم. كيف تريد أن تحظى بهذا الشرف العظيم؟ أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته، خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. كيف تريد أن تكونوا مع السفر الكرام البررة وأنتم يعني تبتعدون عن كتاب الله ولا تجلسون تتعلمون؟
The Sheikh said, the people of the Quran, they are the أهل الله and his khafa. They are the people of Allah and his special people. How do you think you're going to be of these people, this special exalted position? How are you going to be of these people? And this is proof that the people who are experts or they read the Quran, they're from the awliya of Allah, because this hadith calls them the khafa of Allah, the special people. So how do you think you're going to be from those people and take from this virtuous position without going against yourself and without going against and without making yourself humble for your teacher and making yourself humble in front of your colleagues and your companions? How are you going to be from the people who will be raised up with the, you will be raised up and you'll be in the company of the malaika if you don't do this? And the one who is a student of knowledge, whether it's the Quran, whether it's hadith, whatever the science is, they are not the people who shyness in this issue prevents them from getting what they're trying to get. Shyness is not an issue with them.
جزاء وفاقا. اقرأ الآية إلا حميما وغساقا.
إلا حميما وغساقا.
وغساقا. لاحظ في مغصفة.
He said, pay attention to the scene. The scene is a light scene. It's pronounced light here. Easy. Don't say غصاقة with it being heavy.
غصاقة. إلا حميما وغصاقة.
إلا حميما
إلا
إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا.
جزاء، شوفوا مد، هذا مد متصل أقل شيء أربع حركات. جزاء وفاقا، في عندك إدغام بغنة تنوين مع الواو.
He said that this is a med that is a med that is connected. So you have to do it four harakat. You have to do it, since it's the med inside of the word, is four harakat at least.
لأكثر من أخ يقرأ بإذن الله تعالى. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم. أحكام النون الساكنة والتنوين من أهم أحكام علم التجويد.
The rules and regulations, the rules of the noon that has the sukun and the noon that has the marks over it, the tanween, dhammatain, fathatain, kasratain, they are from the most important rules as it relates to the beginners in learning tajweed.
وهذه الأحكام تتكرر كثيرا في آيات القرآن المجيد.
And these rules and regulations, they are repetitive. Many times they come in the Quran and Majid.
قد تجد في الآية الواحدة أكثر من حكم من هذه الأحكام.
You may find in one single ayah the same these rulings multiple times in the same ayah.
ولذلك يجب ضبط هذه الأحكام.
So therefore we have to really get these ahkam, learn them, get them down.
لأنها متعلقة بصفات الحروف.
Because they are connected to the description of the letters.
والنون الساكنة هذه.
This noon is sakin, the noon with a sukun over it.
هي النون التي لا حركة لها.
It's the noon that doesn't have any movement.
يعني خرج بذلك النون المتحركة بفتح والنون المتحركة بسكر بكسر والنون المتحركة بضم.
So the meaning of that, since it doesn't have any movement to it, it has a sukun over it, that means that there's no mentioning of the fatha or the dhamma or the kasra. It doesn't have that.
فإذا رأينا نونا
If we saw a noon that has one of these movements, then it's not from the ahkam. It doesn't have to deal with what we're talking about today. If you see a noon that has a fatha over it, a dhamma over it, or a kasra under it, then it's not the noon that we're talking about here today. And what is connected to the noon with a sukun is the tanween, dhamma tain, fatha tain, or kasra tain.
سواء كان تنوين فتح تنوين كسر تنوين ضم
وذي فتحة كسرة ضم
لأن التنوين هو في الحقيقة نون ساكنة
because in reality إخوان the تنوين that's the ضمتين the كسرتين or the فتحتين in reality it's really the نون الساكن itself the نون with a سكون over it
لأن التنوين إنما تختلف عن النون أن التنوين تدخل على الأسماء
the only difference is
التنوين تدخل على الأسماء ولا تدخل على الأفعال.
The tanween, the tanween, إخوان, the dhammatain, the fathatain, the kasratain, you will find these on the words that are considered to be nouns, but they never come on verbs. You're not going to find a dhammatain, fathatain, or kasratain on a verb, never.
أما النون الساكنة فتدخل على الأسماء والأفعال والحروف.
But the noon is sakin, the noon with the sukun is different. You can find a noon and sukun on a verb. You can find a noon and sukun on a noun. You can find a noon and sukun on the harf.
أيضا النون التنوين تثبت لفظا يعني.
And the tanween you mention it when you read it. You mention it. It is established when you mentioned it.
تثبت لفظا و يعني كنون ساكنة لأن أصلها نون ساكنة فهي تثبت في اللفظ لا في الخط.
So
فلما نقول فتحا فتحا إن فتحنا لك فتحا فنستعيض عن النون الساكنة بهذا التنوين لا نكتبها هكذا فتحا وإن كانت في الحقيقة هي هكذا.
The Shaykh said okay and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said we have opened up for you a clear opening فتحا the tanween is established it is established when you speak it but when you write it It is not established because in reality fathan, fataha with the fathatain is written like this, but it's pronounced, it's written like this, but it's really this in reality. The fataha, the ha, and the noon, because as he said, the noon is sakin, it is the tanween.
فَهُنَا فِي التَّنْوِينَ تَسْقُطِ النُّونِ السَّاكِنَةِ وَيُسْتَعَاضُ عَنْهَا بِتَوَالِي الشَّكْلَةِ
So here, when you are writing it, you're going to erase the noon and sakin here, and what takes its place is the tanween. So it's really one and the same thing. This is this.
أيضا النون الساكنة تثبت حالة الوصل وحالة الوقف.
Also,
غير أن التنوين لا تثبت إلا في الوصل.
The noon and sakin is established. It is present when it is going to when it's by itself. And when it's going to be connected. Whereas the tanween is only established when you're going to connect it in the wafl.
فعند الوصل إذا وقفنا على التنوين نقرأها فتحا.
So when you read and you're going to stop at the end of the tanween, we're going to read فتحا. If you read and you stop there, you're going to say فتحا, not فتحا.
هذا يسمى مدعوض.
This is called the med of iwad, the elongation, the med iwad. We want to ask brothers, because it's going very fast. I don't know if you guys are sitting in, you're trying to write, you're understanding what's happening. Should we tell the sheikh to slow down or just let him go? Because you all have that look on your face like, what, should he keep, continue to go fast as he's going? He said this knowledge, the beginning of it is difficult, but after you get over the difficult aspect, then you're going to be, especially once you start to experience the fruitation of the knowledge, and that is that you begin to read the Quran with tajweed and the correct way. No, we're talking about right now the way the Shaykh is dealing with you right now.
لما نريد نقف عليها نترجم فتصبح فتحة، فصارت ألف هنا بدل التنوين فتحا صارت ألف تمد مقدار حركتين.
So now إخوان, as the Sheikh said, we're reiterating, this is the تنوين of العوض. And العوض, تعويض means you give something in exchange, you change it, that's the meaning of it. He is saying that فتحة really told us that the noon is sacking, it is really the tanween. But when you mention it, it is established. When you write it, it's not written. So here, fathan. He said that the tanween, if you're going to stop, you're going to say fatha. And this is only in the tanween of fatha itself.
فنريد أن نقف على لفظ ماء فنقول أنزل من السماء ماء فماذا فعلنا بالتنوين أبدلناه بألف مقدار حركتين.
He said concerning this ayah, and we reveal from the sky water. The concentration is on the word ماء. ماء ميم ألف with a همزة. He said, if you want to stop at this word, you're going to say, we reveal from the sky, ma'a. And you're going to give it two harakat, and he's explaining that you have to stop, as opposed to saying the whole tanween, ma'am, and then you go on more.
لكن تنوين الضم وتنوين الكسر ليس فيه عوض لأنه ليس هذا ألف لا ينقلب لا يعني الألف لا, لا يكون ألفا وإنما يسكن عليه. مثلا لو قلنا سميع رحيم فنريد أن نقف على هذا التنوين فنقف بالسكون فنقول سميع.
He said
رحيم
that this is only with the تنوين of فتحة, but if you have the تنوين of ضمة or the تنوين of كسر, then you do not say like فتحة ma'a, you don't say that. Now when you have the tanween of dhamma, like in the word sami', or the tanween of kasra, like the word rahimin, then what you have to do is you stop on the sukun. So you say sami'. If you want to stop at the word sami', you have to say sami', and don't say sami'u, don't say rahimi, you have to make it at the sukun. So the tanween al-iwab is only for the fatha, that you say the alif and the fatha.
الآن هذه النون الساكنة عرفنا أحكامها وأن النون المتحركة بأي حركة من الحركات الثلاث لا حكم لها.
Okay, إخوان, the noon is sakin, the noon with the sukun on it, we understand now. what the ruling is. We just explained to you the noon is sakin, and we explained to you. Now the noon that has one fatha, one dhamma, one kasra on it, it doesn't have any ruling. It doesn't concern us here
today.
And we know that the tanween, the word that comes with the tanween, it has the same ruling as that in the ahkam.
تأتي في أول الكلمة وفي وسط الكلمة وفي آخر الكلمة لكن التنوين لا يكون إلا في آخر الكلمة.
Okay, إخواني, so now this is a very important point. The noon as sakina. We have to know that there is a noon which is a sakina, as a sukun. It can come in the beginning of the word. It can come in the middle of the word. It can come at the end of the word, the noon as sakinah, the noon with a sukun. It can be in the beginning of the word, middle of the word, the end of the word. But the tanween will only be at the end of the word. It won't be in the middle or the beginning.
وَعَرَفْنَا أَنَّ النُّونَ السَّاكِنَةَ تَدْخُلْ عَلَى الْأَسْمَاءِ وَعَلَى الْأَفْعَالِ وَعَلَى الْحُرُوفِ غَيْرَ أَنَّ التَّنْوِينَ لَا يَدْخُلْ إِلَّا عَلَى الْأَسْمَاءِ. لازم تحفظوا جيدا.
And you also have to memorize this. What he just told about the noon and sakinah coming at the beginning, the middle, and the end. And the tanween only comes at the end. Another distinction between the two is that the noon and sakinah, it can be on the verb. It can be in a verb. It can be in a noun. And it can be in a harf. Whereas the tanween, it will only be on the noun. It won't be in a verb, and it won't be in a harf.